I'm glad Jesus came into my heart. Take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're just going to read one verse tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. You know that we are preaching and teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. But tonight, I want to look at just one verse and see what God has for us in this one verse. I think it's a very important verse. And every Christian in here needs to get a hold of this tonight. The title of this message is The Faithful God of the Tempted Man. You need to remember you have a faithful God when you're tempted. I believe that tonight that this verse ought to be memorized by every Christian here. This is a great promise that we're going to look at tonight to any child of God. If you're saved here tonight who faces any type of temptation, it doesn't matter what the temptation is, whether you think it's some kind of big temptation or small temptation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But, well, I'm tempted to worry. I'm tempted to be afraid, or I'm tempted to panic, or I'm tempted to say something with my mouth, or I'm tempted to get mad, or tempted to lust, or tempted to be jealous, or tempted to kill somebody. Hopefully, maybe you ain't tempted too much to do that. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. This is a great promise in this book here tonight. And I guarantee you, I don't believe it's by any accident. I've been praying about this all afternoon, okay? Been praying all afternoon about preaching this text. And I guarantee you, in this crowd here tonight, somebody has come in here and you're dealing with temptation and you're losing. I've been there. And God has some help for you tonight. God wants to give you a shot of spiritual vitamin B in your arm. He wants to give you something tonight that will help you, and I want you to stay with me as we go through this. Now, we commonly say that God will never put more on you than you can handle, and we attribute that to this verse, but that's not exactly what it says. But the key part of this verse is God is faithful, and I'm glad that He is. Now, this is what you call a textual sermon tonight. We're just going to take one verse. And we're just going to really expound it and try to get you some help with it tonight. And I hope this is going to help somebody in here overcome some type of temptation that you may be facing and struggling with here tonight. In this verse is contained a great promise. Listen to me. We're going to read it. We'll pray and be seated. In this verse tonight is contained a very, very important and great promise that every time we are tempted to sin against the God we love, there is a way of escape. The hardest part tonight ain't going to be for you to listen to it. The hardest part tonight is going to be for you to believe it. Because you're going to try to go, well, I don't feel that way. My emotions don't say that. It seems like I'm powerless over this thing. It seems like it's got a hold to me. It seems like I can't whip it. And we're going to have to believe what God said. Either God's telling the truth or He's lying. If He's telling the truth, then that means any temptation that you and I face here tonight, we can overcome it through the power of God that lives within us. Amen.
Amen.
And so let's look at it like that. We'll read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Here we go, church. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
What a great verse. Amen.
Right.
Brother Jerry King, would you pray for this and we can all be seated.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, for your love and mercy.
Yes.
We have to
speak
with us tonight, Lord, to speak here, Lord.
Yes,
help. Holy Spirit, convict us, Lord, to stop something that in your will.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the first point I want you to look at tonight is the commonality of temptation. I want you to see the commonality of temptation. The very first part of that verse, notice what Paul says. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Listen, common means usual. Common means ordinary. Common means typical. This is a thing everybody in here needs to understand here tonight. You need to get a hold of this. You and I are never going to face no unusual or unordinary or atypical temptation. You're not going to do it. You can't say, well, this is just some kind of special thing going on in my life. There's no temptation. There's no temptation that's just common to you, and you have other people that haven't faced it, or they don't know what you're going through, or they just don't understand. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You do not have a unique, we preached about a unique God this morning. We have a unique God. Amen?
Amen.
But we do not have a unique temptation. There's somebody somewhere and droves of them going through the same thing some of you are going through in here tonight. Do you understand that? It's not, well, God's picking on me, and why'd I have to go, woe, spare this agony on me, and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that, man. We got to realize that our temptation is common, and I'm going to explain that to you. Listen to me. Temptation never comes from God. Do you understand that? You're never tempted by God to sin, though God may certainly allow it, and He may actually lead you into a situation or a circumstance where you may be tempted to sin, but He doesn't tempt you to sin. The Bible tells us our own lust entices us and allures us to sin. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, I'll read these to you. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. You can't tempt God, and God's not going to tempt you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. We have our own lust and enticed. We think about it too long. We're enticed. We're allured by our own lust. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, why is all temptation common? Why is there no uncommon temptation? I'm going to tell you why tonight. Because all temptations, every single one of them, from the beginning of time till right now, every temptation we face falls in one of three categories. Every single temptation we face falls in one of three categories. And you can read that and see that in 1 John 2:16. You don't have to turn there. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 John 2:16 says this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Every temptation we've ever faced falls into one of those three categories. It's either the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Every temptation. There's no temptation that's just common to you. Every time anybody's ever been tempted, they were appealed to by the lust of their eyes, the lust of their flesh, or the pride of life. Every single one of them. You can back this up to the garden. You say, when Satan comes and he tricks Eve, and he gets her, and man falls, how did he do that? With those same three temptations. Watch this. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, and it was pleasant to the eyes, that's lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. Did you see that? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Did you see that? The way Eve falls is the same way you and I fall. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. You remember when Christ is tempted over there in Matthew chapter 4? It's the same thing over in Matthew chapter 4. Matter of fact, turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 4. It's the very same thing. Three times the devil tries to get to him, and three times he appeals to the same thing. Lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Now, you know the story. I believe you do. Most of you do. Jesus Christ is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And the Bible says when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. So at the end of the temptation, that's when the devil comes. And three times he tempts him. First, he tempts him in verse number 3, Matthew 4:3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread. Lust of the flesh. First thing he tempts him with is lust of the flesh, which would be a good one because he ain't eating 40 days. The devil's going to get you where you're weak, man. Notice the next time he tempts him there in verse number 5. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. That's the pride of life. And then you see it, verse number 9, lust of the eyes. He tempts him again. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. But notice in verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him. He's letting him look at the kingdoms. He looks at the kingdoms in the world and the glory of them. He wants them to see it. And then he says, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. Three times he comes against our Savior. That's how he came against Eve. That's how he's coming against you. Every temptation we face, I know kids face things we didn't have to face, and every generation has new things on the scene, and every generation has things that the previous generation maybe didn't have. I understand that. I believe that. That is actually very true. But everything this generation is facing and the previous generation facing and 10 generations ago faced, it all will wind up in one of three categories: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. There's no temptation that doesn't fall in one of those categories, and that's how the devil is going to try to attack you tonight. And that's how he's going to try to attack me. So you need to understand that. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the way, that's why Christ said over in Hebrews chapter 4, a great verse, seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He feels it. Why? But was in all points, like we are, tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You say, well, they didn't have a computer back in Christ's day. How can they be tempted in all points like us? They didn't have a TV in Christ's day. They didn't have a movie theater or bad rock music or whatever. How can he be tempted like we are in all points? Because he was tempted the same three ways that you and I are tempted. You and I are tempted by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Every time it's going to fall in that. Do you understand that tonight? That's how the devil is coming against you in one of those three ways. He may use a different thing to do it. He may have a different tool to do it. He may have different tools today than he did 100 years ago, but it's all, every time, going to be in one of those three categories. You understand that tonight? All right, number two, let's look at the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God in the temptation. Notice what it says. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. You know, two of the greatest words in your King James Bible is "but God." You ever notice where that shows up in your King James Bible and it say you were a sinner and this was going on and this was bad and this had you out? Then it'll say, "but God." Amen. But God is a great equalizer, brother. Yeah, boy, I was down and out and I was lost and I was on my way to hell and I was defeated and I couldn't get any victory. But God, this temptation had me down and I didn't know what to do about it and it had me in such a bad way. But God, I don't know what that does for you, but that does something for me. Amen. I think about, hey man, this thing seems like it's over. There's no way out of it. It's hopeless. This is a sunk ship. I'm dead. I'm gone. There's no way I'm getting out of this. But God. That's two great words in your Bible, but God. And it says, but God. Notice what it says, but God is faithful. And notice what it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now listen, God is faithful when we are not. God's faithfulness does not depend at all on our faithfulness to Him. If it did, He wouldn't be very faithful to us. God is faithful to us whether we're faithful or not. Listen, with every single temptation that you and I face, God is going to be faithful to do His part. Did you just read the verse here tonight? He said, He will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. With every temptation, God is going to be faithful to do His part. He will never allow the temptation to exceed the Christian's power to withstand the temptation. Did you hear what I just said, church?
Amen.
Jesus Christ will never allow the temptation to exceed the Christian's power to withstand that temptation. He's not going to do it. He's made us a promise. He's promised He wouldn't do it. And I want you to think about something here tonight. God knows our weak frame. He knows how sinful and defiled and messed up we are. One of my favorite verses about man is Psalm 103:14, because it describes man, how he is, but it also shows you that God is an understanding, gracious, merciful God. Psalm 103:14, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Some years ago, that rock group, Kansas or something, come out with this Dust in the Wind song. Don't look at me like you're spiritual. You've heard it. You're singing it right now. All we are is dust in the wind. There's a crazy old rock group. They don't even know what they're talking about. But they're telling the truth. Now, they're singing it sort of like a fatal thing. Fatalistic thing. We're just dust in the wind, being blown everywhere. Bless God, it ain't fatal. It ain't fatalism for me. If you're saved, it's not. I've got hope. But it is the truth. You know what we are? What did God make man out of? Made him out of the dirt. You're clay. You know what? When they put you to bed, one day you're going to die, and they're going to preach a funeral over you, and they're going to put you to bed, not with a blanket, not with a pillow. They're going to put you to bed with a shovel. You're going back to the dirt that you and I came from. God knows that. You say, what are you worth? How much is 200 something pounds of dirt worth?
How much?
55 cents. We're just dust in the wind, man. And you know what? We have a God in heaven that knows it. He knows it. He knows how weak we are. He knows how prone to sin we are. He knows how messed up we are. And that's why that God has promised us, listen, He has promised us that I will never, ever, ever suffer you, allow you. I will never allow you to be tempted more than you are able to withstand. I'm not going to do it. And either we believe that tonight or we don't. Either we decide not to go by our emotions and not to go by our past failures and not to go with how we feel and how overwhelming this temptation is. We either believe the book about it or we don't. You and I cannot say that we believe the Bible and then not believe this verse. He has, listen, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, okay? I don't know who's dealing with what in here tonight. And frankly, unless you want me to know, I'm not the Pope. I don't need to know, okay? I'm not a bishop. I'm not a cardinal. I'm not a blue jay or nothing else, okay? I'm not a priest. I don't want to hear it. You just confess it to God, okay? I don't know what you're facing, but some of you, I guarantee you, now I just don't believe the Lord would put this on my heart to preach this. More preach it than teach it tonight. If somebody didn't wander in here, somebody you wandered in here and you're whipped now. Somebody you're wandered in here and you're saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't overcome it. This thing is just destroying my life. You're right. You can't do it. But there's someone living inside of you that can.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit inside of you can. And the Holy Spirit inside of you can equip you to do it. But the first step of that, and we covered this not long ago when we did the Victorious Christian Life series. Remember that? That was the first thing. The very first message I preached in that 4-part series of the Victorious Christian Life was, you've got to believe you can have the victory. And if you don't believe the verses on it, and you don't believe what the Bible says over your emotion and over your experience, you can't have any victory. So tonight, we can't look at how many times I failed and how strong the temptation is, how strong the desires are, and why I just can't seem to get a hold of it. That Bible promised me that God is going to be faithful in that temptation. He promised us. Now the hard part ain't reading it, and the hard part ain't understanding it. The hard part is believing it. Because sometimes temptation is so real and so tough, and we fail at it so many times, we lose hope. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm just curious. If you want to, you can. If you don't, don't. Has anyone in here, since you've been saved, ever had a thing come up in your Christian life, and you were battling that thing, and you got to a point where you said, God, I'm finished. I've tried to whip it, and I'm so tired, I'm not going to fight it anymore. Anybody ever done that? Lots of honest people in here. I tell you, I got to a point worse than that. I never got to a point so much where I gave up and said, I'm not going to fight it anymore. But I got to a point where the devil was trying to trick me now, where I almost got to a point where I said, well, it just must not be, I must not can just help it. It must be something Must be something physiological. Must be something that I can't, that I just don't have no control over. But then you start excusing it when you do that. Then you're really going down a bad road. I'm just being honest with you. And if you'll be honest, listen, if you'll be honest tonight, God will help you. We can't do that. There's never no excuse for sin. No excuse for sin. If I sin, I chose to do it. Nobody made me do it. Nobody held a gun in my head and said sin. Nobody ever did that. I chose to do it. So what we got to realize tonight is God knows our frame. God knows how pitiful we are. God knows how prone to sin we are. He knows all that about us. That's why that Bible says in this verse here tonight, get a hold of it, church, that He is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That's where we get this, and people say this verse means He ain't going to put more on you than you can stand, which is sort of a loose translation of that verse, but that's what they're trying to say, that God's not going to tempt me above which I'm able to respond to. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, you don't have no hope with this tonight, okay? If you're not saved here tonight, you don't even need to pay attention to this sermon. You just need to get saved. You need to be born again tonight. Then I'll talk to you about this. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, I don't care if you've been saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, it does not matter. If you're here tonight and you're saved, there is someone living inside of you that can give you the power to overcome temptations. Do you believe it tonight?
Amen.
You got to get it out of your position in Christ into your practice. He's promised us there's a way of escape. And just because we don't look to that way of escape, and just because sometimes it's hard to find that way of escape, doesn't mean that it's not there, which leads me to my third and final point tonight. We looked at the commonality of temptation. We looked at the faithfulness of God in the temptation. And we're going to look at the way of escape from the temptation. Notice the last part of this verse. What God will do, but will. He will. Not might. He will. With the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what His promise is? With every temptation, He's not going to make it so bad that you can't do it. And notice what He said. He said, listen now, what I want Him to do is not what He's going to do. I want Him just to take temptation away. I'm not worried about finding no escape from it, bless the Lord. I just don't want Him around. He didn't promise that, okay? He didn't promise that He'd take the temptation away. They're coming. And they're going to keep coming until you and I go to bed. Like we said, they put us to bed with a shovel or Christ comes back. Temptations are coming for us. So He didn't say He was going to take away the temptation. What did He say? He said, with every temptation, every one of them, I'm going to offer a way of escape. Every one of them. There will always be an escape there at the same time the temptation is. How about that promise? There's always going to be an escape at the same time the temptation is there. And it don't matter if it's a temptation of a thought, of an action, or a word. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. And listen, sometimes that escape may be like a fire escape. It may who wants to be up there about 10 stories high and a fire break out in your building and say, well, thank God I got an escape, but I'm going to have to go outside and go down the fire escape. We don't want that too much, do we? Who wants to be going down them little old metal stairs just like this all the way down 10 stories or 8 or 9 stories or 15 or 20 stories, ever how high you are and coming down. Nobody does, but it's better than burning up.
Right.
It's better than burning up in the fire. You know, sometimes that escape may not be the way we want it. Like I said, my escape, I want my escape to be, Brother Sonny, that I don't have to battle this temptation. It's not thrown in my face. It's not dangling up in front of my eyes like a carrot. A carrot to a rabbit. God said, I'm not going to do it like that. Listen here tonight. God's not going to take your temptations away. He's not going to stop them. They're coming. They're coming because of your flesh. They're coming because of the world. They're coming because of the devil. What is the promise then? The promise is this. Listen. The promise is this. If you're saved here tonight, here's your promise. Every time you get a temptation to do evil. Every time. He said He's never going to let that temptation be so hard that it's insurmountable. And every single time, this is the promise here tonight now. He said, every single time you're tempted, I'm going to have you somewhere a way of escape. I'm going to have you a way where you can get out if you really want to investigate and find a way out. See, therein that lies the problem. Do you really want out tonight? If you really don't want out, you probably, when the smoke starts filling the room, you're probably not going to think about going to the fire escape. You're thinking about, how can I put the fire out? How can I put the fire out? I want to stay in here. I don't want to lose my apartment. No, he made you a way of escape. You've got to get out. You've got to take it. May not be what you wish for, but it's a way. And I notice what he says. He says, you'll be able to bear it. You know what that means? It means it's not going to cripple me. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to push me down. I can bear it. I can withstand it. I can make it. You know what that Bible says? It says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. That means whatever comes up against me out in the world, there is someone living inside of me that's greater than that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that's not that verse has been abused in our society. Some professional boxer puts that on his robe to go to go out there and knock out somebody and make $10 million. That's a bunch of hogwash. That verse ain't got nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, you need to find the context of that verse in Philippians chapter 4. It's got something to do with him taking care of you because you're taking care of other things. Find the context of the verse. Read it. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We have to believe that. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why do you fulfill the lust of the flesh then, Brother Dennis? Do you ever do that? Of course I do. Because at that time, I'm not walking in the Spirit. Amen. And when you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. Amen. That's how we get that way. And then I want to encourage you this way. Get your strength. Here's an escape. When Jesus Christ is tempted, those three times by the devil, we looked at that a while ago in Matthew chapter 4. Did any of you notice a common theme in the way our Lord dealt with that temptation? He quoted them scripture every single time. The devil would say, so-and-so, so-and-so. And Jesus say, it is written. Here it is. Here's what the Bible said. And he kept on and the devil had to go. By the way, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll what, church? He will flee from you. Now, I even hear a lot of Bible believers quote that, and they won't quote it right. They'll say, you know what the Bible says? It says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. No, it don't. No, it don't say that. You better get all that verse. Amen. You can't resist the devil until you submit it to God. Amen. You submit yourself to God, then you resist the devil. Then there's a promise that he'll flee from you. He'll leave you. He'll go bother somebody else. So I'm just going to resist him real good tonight. I'm going to submit myself to God and resist him real good tonight. Maybe he'll leave me and go to Jonathan's house. Well, that's a good friend, ain't it, brother? But you get your strength from the Word of God. Now listen tonight. We're going to get ready to close this. This is a wonderful promise in the Bible, isn't it, church? It's a wonderful promise. Now, again, I want to say this as we get ready to close. The difficult part for us here tonight is to believe it. The difficult part for us tonight is that, when we face temptation, we don't start saying, well, I just can't help it. And that's just the way I am. And the devil made me do it. When you say words like that, you're denying what this book said. The book says you can help it. The book said with every single temptation you get, God has promised us a way out. A way out. The question is tonight, do you believe that? Or are you going to sit here and say, well, I've just tried and I've tried and tried and it's so hard. It is hard to believe sometimes. It is hard to believe sometimes. But either we believe it or we don't. Whatever you're struggling with here tonight, let me tell you something. God can give you victory over it. And he said, I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear, and I'm going to give you a way to get out of this thing. If you'll trust me and seek me, I'll show it to you. That's a great promise. We got to believe he's faithful. We got to believe that there is always a way of escape. And listen, again, sometimes I don't feel that way. Sometimes when I read that, like There are times when I read that verse right there, it's like, God, I only believe it because I know you don't lie, but I sure don't feel that way. I sure don't feel that way. Sometimes it seems we don't have the power to resist. Now, don't it? Don't it? Don't, sometimes don't we feel so weak? We seem like we don't have the power to resist. But if you're saved here tonight, listen to me, church. If you're saved here tonight, I don't care who you are. If you are in here tonight saved, you're a born-again child of God, you can overcome any temptation you're facing here tonight by the power of Christ that lives within you. And may God help you and I to claim this promise tonight before we leave here. All right, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And